United States.
Lexington. Vice to virtue. A high-toned debate let J.D. Vance launder Donald Trump until reality stepped in.
Why did Tim Walz have to go and spoil things? For almost the entire vice presidential debate on October 1st, Americans were transported back to a different era in their politics, a time when candidates tried to seem, maybe even were, respectful of each other, open to compromise, mindful of their own weaknesses, and intent on solving big problems. It was soothing, at times even informative, a bit dull in a good way. No one bragged about the size of their crowds, much less of their genitalia, or even called anyone else by a demeaning nickname. But then Mr. Walz, the Democratic candidate, turned to his Republican adversary, Senator J.D. Vance of Ohio, and asked a question about Donald Trump. Did he lose the 2020 election? Somewhere in the distance, could it have been in Springfield, Ohio? A dog barked, and the illusion vanished. Tim, Mr. Vance replied, I'm focused on the future. As long as the illusion lasted, it probably supplied some solace to Americans watching from home, and as a political matter, it benefited Mr. Vance, smiling and nodding pleasantly as the moderators formulated their questions. He gave no hint of the trolling persona that has made him thus far the most unpopular vice presidential candidate in recent history. He made no mention of cats, whether doted on by childless women or eaten by migrants. Mr. Vance exuded empathy for people trying to pay their grocery bills, children fearful of guns in school, and women seeking abortions. The years of Mr. Trump's presidency have never seemed more lustrous than when bathed in Mr. Vance's smooth flow of words. In his telling, Mr. Trump became the keeper of global tranquility, a leader wiser than all the experts combined, somehow even the saviour of Barack Obama's healthcare plan. For his part, the real Donald Trump, the one who tried to kill Obamacare, promising a plan he has yet to unveil, seemed intent during the debate on reminding voters who he truly was, spewing posts on his social media platform, Truth Social, attacking Tampon Tim and Comrade Kamala Harris. A former teacher and football coach, Mr. Walz, who is 60, served 6 terms in Congress, before running successfully twice for governor of Minnesota. Despite his more extensive political experience, he turned in the less cogent performance. Where Mr. Vance reeled off complete paragraphs, Mr. Walz scattered sentence fragments, and at times resorted to a shorthand that was Trumpian in its bewildering simplicity. The drug mule is not true. He left many of Mr. Vance's claims unchallenged. Maybe he had prepared for the more belligerent Vance persona rather than the adversary who warmly shook his hand before the debate and went on to say things like, I agree with you. I think you want to solve this problem. Mr. Walz repeatedly extended Mr. Vance similar credit. Mr. Vance, just 40, has been in the Senate for less than 2 years, and this is only his second campaign. In his brief time on the national stage, he has evolved from a harsh critic of Mr. Trump and many of his policies to the most articulate spokesman for the New Right movement, which seeks to assemble a coherent, appealing ideology out of the odds and ends of Trumpism. He was hard at that work during the debate, never more so than on the subject of abortion. Whereas Mr. Trump likes to boldly state that everybody believed Roe v. Wade should be overturned, Mr. Vance offered a more nuanced, if still slippery, explanation of his position. Though Mr. Vance once said he certainly would like abortion to be illegal nationally, he insisted during the debate that he had never supported a national abortion ban. Mr. Vance spoke of a woman he knew growing up who had an abortion because she was in an abusive relationship. I know she's watching tonight, and I love you, he said into the camera. He said from such conversations he had learned that, as a Republican who proudly wants to protect innocent life in this country, he and other Republicans have got to do so much better of a job at earning the American people's trust back on this issue, where they frankly just don't trust us. That meant, he said, being pro-family in the fullest sense, by supporting fertility treatments and making it more affordable to raise children. It also meant, he continued, letting different states enact different policies regarding abortion. Amid the welter of words, it was not clear what principle Mr. Vance was advancing to win voters' trust. He did not explain why, if he believes a fetus has a right to life, he would be comfortable with some states denying it, or why Americans who believe women should have full reproductive rights should be any more satisfied with a patchwork approach. Despite the sharp disagreements over matters like abortion, the debate was a reminder of how much overlap exists between the parties' agendas on matters from industrial policy to childcare to housing to a certain indifference to budget deficits. Even on the politically fraught subject of guns in schools, the two candidates found some common ground. "This is a good start to the conversation," Mr. Walt said. CBS News, which hosted the debate, conducted a snap national poll afterwards that found voters divided almost evenly over who won. A poll by CNN found that each man was viewed more favourably after the debate than before it. That might have something to do with the largely positive tone of their exchange. The only name-calling of the night came from Mr. Walz, and it was directed at himself as part of a clumsy attempt to explain why he claimed he was in Hong Kong during the Tiananmen Square protests of 1989 when he was not. "I've tried to do the best I can, but I've not been perfect," he said. "I'm a knucklehead at times."